Hello, everybody, and welcome in to another special podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zaglul, and on today's show, we're talking everything Cubs baseball with our special guest. In fact, we'll get into some trade deadline news, the story behind Joe Maddon's current contract situation, and also reflect on our guest's amazing baseball career. Now, before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglul. Today's show is brought to you by Mucci World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Mucci World, creativity at its finest, and by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Celebrate the team's 20th anniversary season by purchasing tickets today. Call 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history this summer in Crestwood. It's now time for our special guest. He began his Major League Baseball career in 1998 with the Florida Marlins, and by 2000, he had made his first of two All-Star teams. After undergoing Tommy John surgery in 2003, he decided to sign with the Chicago Cubs, winning 67 games while recording 87 saves over an impressive 8.5-year tenure. And in 2013, his last year in the majors, he helped the Boston Red Sox win their 8th World Series championship. Today, he's a special assistant in the Cubs front office and an analyst on MLB Network. Please welcome Ryan Dempster back to the show. Ryan, how are you doing today? Thank you for being here on the show.
Good, John. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on. I appreciate it.
Well, to start today, Ryan, let's talk about those Cubs and what they've put together coming out of the All-Star break. They've won 5 out of their last 6. The starting pitching has also been phenomenal all around. And guys like Kyle Schwarber and Robel Garcia specifically have really begun to step it up. What are your impressions on this new and improved Cubs team following the break?
Yeah, I think it's great. It's always very important to get off to a good start in the second half. Coming out of the break, sometimes we can get a little too relaxed as players. We take it a little bit too easy over the break, and to turn a switch back on right away is tough. And they've been able to do that. They played very well within their division, too, which is very important. So we have guys chipping in, like you said, guys like Robel Garcia doing what he's done since he got called up, and Kyle Schwarber, and Jason Hayward's been really, really clutch for them. So just a tremendous job of starting the second half on the right note. And then you just got to keep building off that and not take. Now, all of a sudden, you get San Diego coming in. You can't let your guard down. You have to keep going.
And to go off of that point, we've seen something like this happen before with the Cubs. I mean, 2 years ago, they posted the best record in all of baseball in the second half. And in 2016, after the Aroldis Chapman trade, there was also some noticeable improvement both in performance and overall record. Do you see that happening again this year? Will the Cubs string together another impressive second half and ride that wave into the playoffs?
I believe so. I really do. You kind of hit the nail on the head when you talked about the starting pitching. When you have good starting pitching, you're going to win games. And when your starting pitchers are pitching great, you're going to get on rolls. You're going to win 5 of 6. You're going to win those 7 of 8 because that's what it takes. Because when you do that and you're pitching well out of the rotation like that, your bullpen gets a lot of rest. Therefore, their rest when they come in and just has this total trickle-down effect that can really, really affect the ball club. So I don't see any reason why when I look at the way the lineup is constructed and the roster is constructed and the addition of Craig Kimbrell, there's no reason why this team can't believe that they can go out there and win a World Series.
Yeah, how far do you see this team going? Are these guys true World Series contenders, or are they like last year's team where they made the playoffs but lost immediately in the wild card round?
Yeah, well, each team's different. That's the thing. Is you can't take one team and truly compare it to your previous year. People are like, well, in 2016, well, cool. That's 3 years ago. You got a lot of different ball players. You got different options, different guys in the bullpen. But the way they've been put together now, you have more depth at catcher. Wilson Contreras comes back and you have a tremendous defensive catcher, Maldonado there. Vic Carantini is sneaky defensively good and he rakes. And then you go through the infield and look at what they're capable of doing. And you have MVP caliber players and Rizzo and Bryant and Javi Baez. And it's really, really stacked. And when you get on a roll and you start to get confident, you start to feel like that, third turn at the racetrack where you're coming around the corner and getting ready for that fourth and final turn. this is where the big dogs turn it on, and I think you're seeing that out of them so far.
Ryan Dempster here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Ryan, we've also seen in the past that the Cubs aren't worried about improving their roster mid-season to set themselves up for a deep playoff run. I mean, Chapman, as we talked about earlier, Jose Quintana and Cole Hamels have all been acquired via trade over the past three seasons, and generally, each move has worked out pretty well. Now, this year, the Cubs have already made a trade for Martin Maldonado, and the deadline isn't here yet. They have time to make more moves. How active do you see the Cubs being at this year's trade deadline, and what are your thoughts on what Maldonado can bring to the table?
As far as Maldonado goes, I mean, tremendous defensively, great arm, pitch frames very well, and has sneaky pop. Like, he can hit 20 homers. He's got that kind of, you know, power in his bat. Not a big average guy, but that's okay. You need somebody. Nobody is nowadays. That's not as emphasized, but in the ball of the ballpark, and he does a good job of that. So I think as far as the trading deadline goes, I don't know. I mean, listen, Theo and Jed and the entire front office crew has always proved throughout their entire career that they're always looking to improve the ball club at any point during the season. So, you know, I think there's always going to be discussions, but at the same time, they really truly believe in what they have there, the product on the field. And I think that says volumes to the players that they do have out there in the uniform right now.
You know, you mentioned Maldonado's pitch framing abilities, his excellent defense, and his weak average. And as a pitcher yourself, you know, I'm sure you've worked with many guys behind the plate, those who prioritize both defense and offense separately. What was it like for you to work with those guys who cared more so about defense and calling a game the right way and pitch framing and maybe throwing out runners at a higher rate? How can that apply to what Maldonado can do for the Cubs today?
Yeah, it's a starting pitcher when you have a catcher who's really, really good at that. And I don't know if that's a byproduct of not being able to hit, so they feel like they need to make up for that at behind the plate. But, you know, it's hard to hit as a catcher in the big leagues. That's why there's not a lot of really good hitting catchers. You're out there grinding every single day, you know, making pitches and blocking pitches and, you know, working with your starters. And it's 100 degrees out there, and they're out there, you know, playing baseball. And it's hard to go out there. So I always appreciated any catcher who's doing whatever they can for me. And the ones that have the ability to turn it off the minute they make that last out to go out there. And now the focus is just on calling the game and going out there and trying to prevent runs instead of trying to, you know, bring them in.
Now, with Maldonado on the team and a possible mystery player acquired later before the deadline, the Cubs have a chance to go far. We've already established that fact. My question to you is this. How far do the Cubs have to go to renew Joe Maddon's contract, or do you see him done no matter what the scenario is? What's your take on Maddon's status after this season?
I think Joe Maddon's done a tremendous job of managing the Chicago Cubs. He broke a curse of 108 years, finally brought a World Series trophy to Chicago. And I think that Joe does as good a job as anybody in the entire sport of just living in the moment, in the now. And I think that's all that matters at the end of the day. You'll be taken care of. You do your job, and good things happen to good people. And, you know, whether that's here in Chicago or that's somewhere else, whatever ends up happening, Joe Maddon has done nothing but tremendous things here.
Moving now to your personal career, congratulations are in order first off, as last month you were inducted into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, joining the likes of Cubs greats Fergie Jenkins and Andre Dawson, along with other baseball legends like Pedro Martinez, Roberto Alomar, and Gary Carter. Tell me about the whole process. How did you find out? What was the ceremony like? And also, how much does it mean to you to be considered one of Canada's greatest baseball players ever?
Yeah, it's a huge honor. You know, you get the phone call. And I'm not naive. Like, I know that I put up numbers in my career. I had a long career, so that, and being Canadian, all those things factor in. But at the same time, when you're playing, you're not playing for any of that. You're just playing to go out and get people out. So all of a sudden you get a phone call that says you're being inducted. And I was like, wow, you know, extremely humble, extremely grateful. And then I started looking at all the other people that were in there. Then I started to just kind of find it very surreal, because the truth is, like, I grew up watching these guys, and now I'm in a shrine in a Hall of Fame in Canada, just like them. Like, just didn't seem real. And then you get up there and you're preparing for your speech, and there's nothing like it. I, you know, fighting back tears of great emotion when you're up there and look around, you see all those other Hall of Famers, not just the ones that are going in with you, but the other ones, the alumni that are there. And it's just really, really spectacular. And for Fergie Jenkins to put my jacket on and say, welcome to the Hall of Fame, That truly is the greatest moment of my career. It was really, really incredible.
And, you know, when you look back on your actual playing career in the MLB, I don't think people give you enough credit for what you did, especially in a Cubs uniform. I mean, I talked about in your bio the 67 wins and 87 saves total, and that's not to mention your vital role during the Cubs playoff run in 07 and 08. How would you characterize your time on the Cubs, and how do you think it relates to your induction into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame?
Well, I love my years in Chicago. You know, it started in 2004. Coming here with so much buzz in the city after 03 and a lot of great teammates that I still keep in touch with to this day. And then, you know, just I love the city of Chicago. I love the Midwest. So I always felt like I was a hardworking guy, and that was kind of a good tool in my toolbox, was that I like to work really hard. And that's how Chicagoans are. And that's, you know, it's a blue collar town, and you can see that. And it really just resonated with me to give my best every day and try as hard as I could. And I think fans appreciated that. And that's all I can ask for. Sometimes you can't control results or what you get done, but how do you represent yourself in a uniform? And I tried to do that the best I could. And the fans treated me great, and I love them for it.
You know, speaking of those 07 and 08 teams for a moment, can you draw any parallels from that era to today's Cubs team? I mean, those 2 years were historic in the sense that they served as the last Cubs playoff run before the current one. Do you see any similarities between 07 and 08 to 2019?
Yeah, for sure. You know, when I get a chance to be around the team, they're a tight-knit group of guys. They all know each other very well, and that's important. And it's like being in a family. You actually see them more than your own family. So I really noticed that. I've been on teams, and I've been around teams that it's not like that. And these guys really have a love for that for each other. You see it when there's somebody's hosting a charity event, or almost the whole entire team shows up, and that says volumes about what kind of chemistry that they have. And then they got a bunch of guys who are just going to work really hard to go out there and get it done. And I think that was something about our 07 and 08 teams, that you know, we were ball players. You know, whether you're a pitcher or a position player, it didn't matter. If you're a pitcher, you still were a ball player trying to figure out, what can I do to help my team win today? And I see a lot of that in this team.
Here in 2019 as well, you yourself have made some professional moves, serving as a substitute color commentator in the Cubs booth with Len Kasper, while also growing your late-night style talk show Off the Mound. So first off, how did the opportunity come about with the Cubs to fill in for Jim DeShays? And also, how have you grown Off the Mound now into a national tour?
Yeah, you know, to fill in for JD was a real treat. It was a pleasure to be able to give him that opportunity, because of, you know, national TV games and some all-star breaks, some off days that don't normally happen. He was able to get a full week with his family on vacation. And people don't realize that you don't get any of those times during the season where you can get that much time off. And I know it's a game, but it's still a job and it's a lot of responsibility. So to be able to give him a breather and fill in for a day and work with Len Kasper, who's absolutely incredible in the booth, as good as there is, it was a delight. I told JD, I definitely don't want to do that every day, but anytime you want the day off, I'd be happy to fill in for him. I really love the game of baseball and talking it. And so it was a lot of fun to do that. I enjoy, and to be able to do it in Chicago on the south side of Cubs White Sox game was a lot of fun. So, and as I said, I like talking the game, and that's where kind of Off the Mound all kind of stems from. It was a thought in my head to kind of do a late night style talk show where we have music and comedy and entertainment all amongst interviewing guys and asking them some of the greatest moments of their career to the fun things they do, you know, when the camera's not on, or get them to tell a funny story about something that happened on a team bus or, you know, on the road somewhere. And I think that's a lot of fun for fans to hear, because they're magical to people, and guys, you know, they look up to them and idolize them for so long. I think it's really, really special to share those moments and for fans to come have a good time, laugh and smile. And that's kind of the whole idea behind it all.
You know, I bring up your time in the booth and Off the Mound because, as you know, the Cubs are going to be starting their own TV network in 2020, and at the moment, there's little to no public knowledge about programming and the network's plans to fill time outside of Cubs games. Now, as a question to you, have you been approached, or have there been talks about a role for you on the network? For example, will Off the Mound or something similar to it be featured on the station?
We haven't had those talks yet, so I'm sure that there's general interest from both sides, right? I love being a Chicago Cub and being here in Chicago, and they're trying to do what they can to get the network up and running to the best of their ability. So I just think, you know, if something comes of it, that's great. And at the same time, I really enjoy myself. I love working at MLB Network. It's a blast to work there, and it's also great doing this Off the Mound stuff. We get to go around and tour around the country. We're doing another one in September out in Boston at the end of the season. And then next year we're going to take it all across the country. And we get to give money back and we get to raise money for charity and all the while having a great night doing it. So I'm really, really enjoying that. And we'll see what comes of all of it and just kind of go take it in stride.
And finally, Ryan, before we let you go here today, let's go back to 2012 when you were pitching for the Texas Rangers. Now, I believe you were trying to get back into Canada coming from the United States, and your reference on your passport was your MLB Network colleague, Kevin Millar. Now, what ended up happening, and today, do you forgive Kevin for what he did?
Yeah. Kevin, you must have a good time. Yeah. It was actually a pretty funny story. We just had a little mix-up with some visa issues. I could have got up to Canada, but coming back from Canada would have been the issue. The U.S. was not going to let me back in, but we fixed it all up, and you did your research on that one. You remember that pretty good. So I ended up sitting in New York for 3 days waiting to see if I'd be able to make the trip up to Toronto. I took it a Yankee Red Sox game out in the bleachers. I went and saw Hamilton. It was a fun 3 days. I really not going to lie. I didn't mind those 3 days off at all.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for coming here on the show again. Always a pleasure to have you on, and hope to have you on again soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, John.
What an honor it was to welcome Ryan Dempster back to today's show as we talk with him about some Chicago Cubs trade deadline news, his thoughts on the Joe Maddon contract situation, plus his amazing MLB career. And to me, there's always two major things about Ryan that I enjoy when he comes onto this show. Number one, his expertise is unmatched. I mean, this is a guy who played in the MLB for 10 plus years. Heck, he's a World Series champion. And now he's a special assistant with the Chicago Cubs. So you know that when Ryan ever comes on this show, you're going to get some great insights. You're going to get some great expertise. Now, the other thing I really like about Ryan, and this probably goes without saying, is his infectious sense of humor. Every time he comes on, I always look forward to laughing, and I know it's coming because he makes jokes and he has a very funny personality. So whenever Ryan comes on, I look forward to it as an interviewer, getting to talk with him and at the same time, sprinkle in a few laughs. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at @ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site. Simply type in your email, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago, and every podcast from the 2018-19 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening to today's show, and have a great day.